Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for July 8th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
The idea that these guys are quite as small as they are, but generating such a large sound underwater, is of great interest to the engineers.
If dolphins have two beams, they might not have to move their head back and forth that much as the bats.
Bat flight is notoriously unsteady compared to bird flight, for example.
This week, the bat's hairy navigation system and the dolphin's secret sonar. Also, a killer whale-inspired microphone. But first, Suzanne Bard has a story about a tiny insect with a whole lot to say.
A diminutive bug called the water boatman has been crowned the loudest animal in the world for its body size. The males, which measure a mere 2 millimeters long, sing underwater to attract females. Electronics engineer James Windmill of the University of Strathclyde in Scotland used specialized microphones to measure the insect's prodigious volume.
There's a general rule of thumb in engineering and biology that to make not just a loud sound, but a clear sound, the bigger you are, then the louder you sound you can make, and the clearer that sound is. However, our recordings showed that these guys are still making an incredibly loud sound.
Windmill says the water boatman is common in rivers and lakes throughout France and Germany, as well as parts of England. He and his colleagues were surprised that the miniature megaphones have been ignored by science for so long.
So we went and had a look and started fishing around trying to work out what was actually making this particularly loud sound, initially thinking that it must be quite a large insect given how loud the sound was. But after lots of trial and error and taking things into the laboratory to record them, we finally worked out that it was actually this very small bug. If you're lucky and you're in the right place at the right time and it's quiet enough on the riverbank, then you actually can hear them. So that was another indicator of how loud they were, because if you make sound underwater, when the sound in the water reaches the surface of the water, then 99% of that sound is actually reflected back into the water. Only 1% of the power will actually come out into the air.
He says the insect probably produces its loud calls using stridulation.
Stridulation is where you simply take two body parts and rub them together. It's basically the one part hitting the other, making them shake, which is then what's causing the sound.
He says the discovery could help engineers design smaller sonar and medical imaging systems.
There's always pressure in engineering to make things smaller, cheaper, and of course louder. So the idea that these guys are quite as small as they are, but generating such a large sound underwater, is of great interest to the engineers. It could be something we could learn from for future developments in sonar systems.
He adds that recording the bugs in nature could also help biologists track the health and biodiversity of ecosystems.
Thanks, Suzanne. In the ocean, orcas, or killer whales, are top predators, and as a result, they've evolved top-notch hearing. Now, the ultra-sensitive ears of orcas have inspired the design of an ultra-sensitive underwater microphone. Onur Kulic is an applied physicist at Stanford University. He and his colleagues looked at how orca ears respond to a wide range of sound frequencies while also withstanding the crushing water pressure deep in the ocean. Like an orca's ears, their microphone fills with water to keep the pressure balanced inside and out.
We built something that can be used pretty much for any ocean applications, and it can detect both the faintest and the loudest sounds at any depth.
The work was published in the Journal of the Acoustical Society of America. Kulic says the microphone could find many uses in ocean communication, navigation, and research. Next, Suzanne says scientists have recently exposed another cetacean's secret sounds.
Dolphins use echolocation to navigate underwater and hunt for prey. They bounce high-frequency clicks off objects to locate them. Until now, scientists believed that the marine mammals emit just one beam of clicks from a special organ in their heads. But a new experiment has detected a second echolocation beam with different frequency clicks. Researcher Josephine Starkhammer of Lund University in Sweden says the second signal makes sense for survival.
For instance, when the dolphin is hunting fish, it would be good for them to be able to surround the fish with sound more. It would be easier for it to locate the moving target.
She says, in contrast, echolocating bats have only one signal and have to constantly move their heads to the right and left to locate their prey.
Bats actually seem to have only one beam, but they alternate between clicking on the right and left side of the target they are looking at. If dolphins have two beams, they might not have to move their head back and forth that much as the bats.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Speaking of bats, new research suggests that they use more than just echolocation to navigate in complete darkness. They also have tiny hairs on their wings that help them maneuver through the air.
Microscopic hairs that are so small that you cannot see them with the naked eye.
This is neuroscientist Suzanne Sterbing D'Angelo of the University of Maryland, College Park. She and her team found that by blowing air on these hairs, they could activate regions of the brain associated with a sense of direction.
When we blow air at those hairs from different angles, we find that those hairs have a directional sensitivity.
And when they temporarily removed the hairs from the bat's wings, the nocturnal flyers had a harder time navigating through a simulated forest.
Their flight is not as maneuverable anymore, so they make wider turns. They speed up because they're probably insecure about their own flight speed when they don't get the feedback from those hairs, and so their flight pattern drastically changes.
She says that understanding how the hairs work could help engineers design more stable aircraft.
There is certainly potential in this research for the development of biomimetic sensors to make, for example, the performance of small aircrafts more stable against sudden wind gusts.
And speaking of navigation, Suzanne says both birds and humans have also been making news recently.
A protein called cryptochrome helps animals navigate using the Earth's magnetic field. We humans have a form of cryptochrome in our eyes, and scientists have long wondered whether or not it actually does anything. In a study published in Nature Communications, scientists bred fruit flies that have the human protein instead of their own, and the flies were still able to navigate using magnetic fields. Whether humans actually make use of cryptochrome is still not known. And finally, some birds run and flap their wings to get over obstacles. Scientists writing in the Journal of Experimental Biology were curious why the birds ran when they could have flown. Using sensors in pigeons, they found that this flap running uses just 10% of the energy that flying does. They think that ancient bird ancestors could have been flap running long before they gained the ability to fly.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, the genetics of happy faces and how pigeons can tell human faces apart. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.